Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Men Who Hate Women by Laura Bates investigates the online ecosystems where extreme misogyny is cultivated, normalized, and translated into real-world harm. Drawing on widely reported cases, digital culture analysis, and the author's long-running work on gender-based violence and online abuse, the book maps how fringe communities can pull ordinary users toward increasingly hostile beliefs about women. Bates connects incel ideology, pickup artist rhetoric, and men's rights grievance politics to broader patterns of harassment, radicalization, and occasional acts of violence. Rather than treating these subcultures as isolated, the book frames them as interconnected networks that borrow language, tactics, and recruitment strategies from other extremist movements. It also examines how algorithms, anonymity, and platform incentives can amplify sensational content, while institutions often underestimate the threat because it appears like mere trolling. The result is a clear, urgent exploration of how digital misogyny shapes culture, relationships, and public safety. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the manosphere as an ecosystem, not a set of isolated groups. A central idea of the book is that extreme misogyny online functions like an ecosystem with overlapping communities rather than separate, self-contained subcultures. Bates traces how incel forums, pickup artist spaces, and men's rights circles can share language, memes, and narratives that frame women as manipulators, gatekeepers, or enemies. This interconnectedness matters because it enables users to move between spaces and gradually accept more extreme claims, often starting with seemingly mundane complaints about dating or identity. The book emphasizes that the boundaries between advice, entertainment, and ideology are porous. A user can arrive looking for confidence tips, then encounter content that portrays consent as negotiable, objectifies women as targets, and blames feminist progress for personal frustration. Bates also highlights how these communities build identity through jargon, in-group bonding, and a sense of persecution, which makes members resistant to outside critique. By presenting the manosphere as a networked pipeline, the book encourages readers to focus on patterns of recruitment and escalation, not just the most sensational outliers. Secondly, incel ideology and the logic of grievance and entitlement. The book explores incel ideology as a worldview built on grievance, fatalism, and entitlement, where personal disappointment is reframed as evidence of systemic injustice against men. Bates describes how some incel spaces promote a rigid hierarchy of attractiveness and social status, casting relationships as a marketplace in which women allegedly control access and men compete with unfair odds. This framing can turn loneliness into resentment, and resentment into dehumanization. A key part of the analysis is how women are portrayed not as individuals, but as a monolithic group responsible for men's suffering, which makes harassment feel justified to participants. Bates also examines how certain communities normalize fantasies of punishment or retribution, while rewarding members who express the most extreme anger with attention and status. The book links these narratives to real-world risks, targeted stalking, coordinated abuse campaigns, and in some documented cases, mass violence inspired by misogynistic grievances. By laying out the internal logic of incel discourse, the book helps readers recognize how quickly vulnerability can be exploited and weaponized. Thirdly, pickup artist culture and the normalization of coercion. Bates places pickup artist culture under scrutiny as a commercially driven arena that often sells certainty and dominance to men who feel insecure. The book looks at how some strands of this culture treat dating as a game of extraction, where success is measured by conquest rather than mutual connection. Tactics promoted in these spaces can include manipulation, testing boundaries, and encouraging persistent pursuit in ways that blur or disregard consent. Bates argues that even when framed as self-improvement, advice that encourages performance, emotional leverage, or calculated humiliation can normalize coercive attitudes. The book also shows how monetization can push creators toward more extreme claims, because outrage and promises of secret techniques generate clicks, followers, and paid programs. Another focus is the effect on young audiences who may lack relationship experience and interpret these scripts as standard behavior. By connecting pickup artist rhetoric to broader misogynistic narratives, Bates suggests that the danger is not only individual bad actors, but also a cultural product that trains people to view women as obstacles to view women as obstacles to be overcome. Fourthly, platforms, algorithms, and the mechanics of radicalization. A major theme is that online misogyny is amplified by the architecture of digital platforms. Bates discusses how recommendation systems can steer users toward increasingly provocative material because it retains attention and drives engagement. Anonymity, private groups, and rapid meme circulation allow harmful ideas to spread while minimizing accountability. The book highlights how irony, coded language, and in-jokes can make extremist content appear playful, helping it evade moderation and making critics seem humorless or overreactive. Bates also explores how harassment is organized. Dogpiling, doxing threats, and coordinated reporting can silence women and discourage public participation. The analysis extends to institutional blind spots, where misogyny is treated as a cultural issue rather than a security concern, even when it intersects with other extremist ideologies. By focusing on the mechanics, not only the beliefs, the book offers a framework for understanding why deplatforming debates, moderation policies, and digital literacy matter. It argues that countering misogynistic extremism requires attention to incentives, design choices, and enforcement, not just individual attitudes. Lastly, cultural spillover. How extreme misogyny affects everyday life. Bates connects the most overtly extreme communities to broader cultural consequences, arguing that ideas incubated on the fringes can seep into mainstream discourse. The book examines how narratives about women lying, manipulating, or deserving punishment can influence how people interpret harassment, abuse allegations, and workplace dynamics. When these ideas circulate widely, they can raise the social cost of speaking out and normalize suspicion toward women's credibility. Bates also addresses the cumulative impact of online abuse on women's participation in public life, from journalism and politics to gaming and academia, where sustained harassment can lead to self-censorship or withdrawal. Another aspect is how young people form beliefs about relationships and gender through social media, making early exposure to misogynistic content particularly influential. The book suggests that extreme misogyny is not only a women's issue, but a social cohesion and public safety issue, affecting families, schools, and communities. By showing the pathways from online rhetoric to offline harm, Bates encourages readers to treat the problem as systemic and address it through education, policy, and cultural change. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers who want to understand how misogyny evolves online and why it cannot be dismissed as niche internet drama. Journalists, educators, parents, policymakers, and anyone active on social media will find it especially useful because it clarifies the language, pathways, and incentives that shape radicalization. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening digital literacy and risk awareness. You learn to spot recruitment patterns, recognize how harassment campaigns operate, and better support people targeted by abuse. It also helps readers talk about the subject with more precision, separating ordinary frustration from ideologies that promote entitlement, dehumanization, and violence. Compared with similar books that focus only on incels or only on platform harms, Bates links multiple communities into one coherent map and emphasizes the real-world consequences for safety, equality, and public participation. The book's value is its connective approach. It shows how cultural narratives, monetized influencers, and algorithmic amplification reinforce each other. For buyers seeking a clear overview that ties online subcultures to broader social impact, it is a worthwhile, actionable addition to a modern understanding of extremism. If you would like to support Laura Bates, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.